happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. Then at last I finally knelt. Contentment filled my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when He saved my soul.
Beautiful song, and I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me. I hope you remember that day above all the days of your life when Jesus came into your life and wonderfully saved you, made a new creature out of you. See, I'm going to preach tomorrow on you can know that you're ready for the rapture. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're ready for the rapture. And I'm going to preach on how you can know. How you can know that you know that you know. I mean, a lot of people got a flimsy feeling about going to the rapture. And they think that they are right. And somebody's told them they can go. Listen, you can know. There can be a fire in here. There can be a sense in your very being. There can be a feeling in your soul that you won't doubt that you're ready to go, friend. And I want you to have that. I want you to know beyond any doubt, any idea, any false feeling that you are ready for that rapture. One thing, you're going to be living a godly life. Number two, you're going to be on fire with the Spirit of God burning like a fire inside of you. When you know you're ready, it'll be an exciting feeling. I am so excited, I can hardly imagine. Now, today, we're going to talk about a subject that really is overwhelming. You got to share it with your friends all over Facebook, all over the internet, all over your telephone. You got to share this with people. We're going to talk about the repentant multitude that missed the rapture. The repentant multitude that missed the rapture. Now, I'm going to show you a picture of them in the Bible. There's no doubt. I mean, there is no doubt. This is a multitude. This is a worldwide multitude. This involves people that will repent who've never had anything to do with the Bible and the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Because something is going to happen in this world unlike anything you've ever heard of. I've got seven things to tell you, and all of them are breathtaking to me. They will be in the article I'm giving to everybody. Everybody that calls will get a free copy of this incredible article. I mean, it's large and it's meaningful, and it will have an effect upon your life, and you can make copies and give it to 1,000 people if you will. We've got to help people get ready to get right with God if they miss the rapture, because the multitude are going to miss the rapture. I look at people today, and I mean, here we are on the verge of the rapture. Here we are right in the very throes of the last hour. The Antichrist is getting ready to set up his kingdom. It's a worldwide scheme that's going on to get ready for one world order, a one world government, a 7-year tribulation period. I mean, it's worldwide. You can see it everywhere you look. The Bible is so perfectly fulfilled, and yet the multitudes are paying no attention. The church is so full of people who don't even believe in the rapture any longer. They don't want you to bother them. They're comfortable. They're making big money. They're living a good, joyful life in the pleasures of the world, and they don't want to hear something that's going to upset them and get them all concerned and make them have to turn to a religious views. The world is in a mess. And I'm telling you, everywhere I look, I can say they're going to miss the rapture. They're going to miss the rapture. They're going to miss the rapture. I look at people around the church. They're going to miss the rapture. So what we got to do is we got to start helping people understand what to do if they miss that rapture. And I've got seven things here in front of me. I hope I can get to them. I first want to take you in the Bible and show you one of the most vivid pictures of people who miss the rapture. And this is in the book of Revelation. You can go with me in your Bible, chapter 6. It is the fifth seal, from that book, seven sealed book, that Jesus took out of the Father's hand in chapter 5. And Jesus begins to open these seven seals. And this is number 5. And you got to listen to every word. If you don't hear the words here, you're going to miss the message, okay? Listen carefully. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain, that were killed for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried, listen, they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, holy and true, doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now listen to what the Lord says to them. "And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while." They're dead now. They're in the throes of a place where the righteous go. They're conscious. They know everything's going on. And they're so wounded by how they were slaughtered and how they were raped and how they were killed by the Antichrist army. They're crying out for God to avenge them. But God says to them to rest for yet a little season until their fellow servants, those are other Christians, fellow servants, other believers, others who repented, others who got themselves right with God, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So here's the rapture's taking place. The saints of God, the raptured saints, are in heaven. There's a multitude on the earth, and they're repenting. They are repenting. They're crying out to God. And the Antichrist has got his goons and all of his Antichrist army. I mean, they are a multitude, and they are mean as snakes. They are as dark as the devil. What the Islamists terrorists are doing is vile compared to what this crowd is going to do. Well, maybe that's not altogether true, because they are very vile, but it's going to be horrible. And this crowd that are repenting and getting right with God. See, this is after the rapture. Where do you think they came from? They were people that missed the rapture, and now they have got on their faces and they've cried out and they've got right with God. You see, when this day of judgment comes, there's going to be a revival on this earth like has never been in human history. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you call and we'll talk about it, okay? I'll be glad to try to share with you what the Holy Ghost has showed me, because I'm telling you, the Bible is plain. There's going to be a multitude that get right with God after that rapture. Now, here we see that in chapter 6 of Revelation. If you didn't read with me, go get your Bible. Read Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 and 11. 9, 10, 11. And then let's go to chapter 7. I'm going to show you the same multitude with a little different light now, okay? This is chapter 7. The 144,000 Jews have been sealed with the seal of God. They too got saved after the rapture, and they've been sealed. And now they're witnessing to the Jewish world. But here comes another picture. After this, I looked, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and all the kindred and all the people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. And notice they were given white robes in chapter 6, 9, 10, 11. And now here they are, the same group with those white robes. And the Bible says this great multitude, which were no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. And they worship and praise the Lord, all the angels around about the throne, and all the elders. See, the elders are the raptured saints, those that went up in the rapture before the 7 years began. Now this group in front of them are those that come up out of the rapture, and they have been saved since the rapture. That's this multitude repenting, crying out to God. I mean, squalling before God. I mean, getting themselves right with God. Hey, friend, you got to hear me. You got to hear me. And the world needs to hear this. I wish I could get every preacher telling people what to do if they miss the rapture, because the multitude of our church members as a whole, many of them, are going to miss the rapture. They're just pew warmers. They just sit around and they're doing nothing. They aren't on fire. You can't get them to prayer meeting. They'll come to eat meat, but they won't come to a prayer meet. You know, the world's like that. You have an eat meeting, they'll fill the house. You have a prayer meeting and you get a half a dozen. That means the rest of them aren't ready for the rapture, most likely. You know, we can't judge that. We know God knows every heart and every situation, and he will judge rightly, rightly judge. Now say it, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and honor, thanksgiving and honor and power and might unto the God whom we serve. And one of the elders, now this is the same story, and one of the saints of God, one of the elders, these are raptured saints, one of the elders answered, saying unto John, John's talking about himself, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Where did they come from, John? And John said unto him, sir, thou knowest. John didn't know. Even John didn't know where they come from. Most of the church world today don't know where they come from. But I'm telling you, they come up out of the tribulation. They repent and they make their garments clean in the blood of the Lamb. They get themselves right with God, and they die by the multitudes at the hand of a vicious enemy. These are they which came out of great tribulation. Now notice what it said. These are they which came out of great tribulation. It was Jesus in Matthew 24 that called this period the great tribulation. Jesus named it the great tribulation. In the Old Testament, it was called Jacob's trouble. But now in the New Testament, as it relates to the Gentile world, it's called the great tribulation. These are they which came out of great tribulation. And you got to hear me. You got to hear me. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How do they get right with God? The blood of the Lamb. But they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Very different from the church message that we preach today, but very real, okay? Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Now these are tribulation saints. The Bible calls them that. Not Brother Chambers, the Bible. Tribulation saints. This is that multitude that when that rapture takes place, they get right with God. They get right with God because it's a matter. I got seven things to tell you why people get right with God after that rapture takes place. One, the greatest harvest will be driven by the darkest powers of hell invading this earth. You see, every human being on this earth has a spirit from God in their bosom. Unless they have completely rejected God until their spirit has become stone cold, they will see something real when this time of judgment comes. And all hell breaks upon this earth. It won't be a matter of I can go and get in my big sheen and go draw my big paycheck and go and live it up and have a life of luxury. That time will be over, friend. We're talking about a day of tribulation like the human world has never seen. And when men see that, if they've got any sense of God in their being, they're going to start repenting. And that's where this multitude comes from. They come from people who had enough spiritual sense inside of them, enough understanding of what they see going on. And the darkness that hell paints in its great evil upon this earth will be enough to drive anybody to think the other side and to look for something different than what the devil is going to be giving them. I'm telling you. Number two, the invasion of the Antichrist evil will make a multitude of people willing to die for Christ. The invasion of evil over this world in a broad, overarching sense will be so hellish and will be so damnable and will be so dark that it will make people with any sense of conscience willing to die for faith, for Christ, to escape this filth and this wickedness and this evil. I mean, that is a powerful point to me. It really is. When wickedness reaches the level of the great tribulation, only the blindest of a soul cannot see that God is in the operation. I'm telling you, when God begins to judge this earth, he turns it loose to wickedness. You're going to have to be one blind creature not to know there's something about this that ain't God. There's something about this I don't want no part of. You go back in human history when the church was martyring thousands and thousands of believers in the dark ages. And they said whoever the smoke of the martyr would fall on would convert and get right with God. People were driven to get right with God because they saw the evil that was coming on their world. That's going to happen again. That is going to happen again. The judgment of God will be so plain and so evident that wise men and women cannot doubt that this is God's action. I said when the judgment of God is in the earth. Have you ever read the book of Isaiah chapter 26 verse 9? It says when God's judgments are in the earth, men will learn righteousness. That's what it says. Isaiah 26 9. Go read it. When judgment, God's judgments are in the earth, men will learn righteousness. When you look at God judging the world and it's everywhere and men are dying like flies and the devil has turned loose his fury and people are being molested, they are being brutalized, they are being treated like dogs, I'm here to tell you, it's going to make you know that God is involved in this judgment and he's trying to get this war ready. Now, the spiritual darkness we are now experiencing will literally vanish. The spiritual darkness we see everywhere right now. The spiritual darkness is everywhere, friend, but it will suddenly vanish when godly people are gone, when the righteous people have left here, when there is a complete vacuum of anybody that makes the church real, that makes the message real. There won't be no Joe Chambers sitting here on Facebook and internet and radio telling you these kind of things are happening, brother. I'm going to be gone. You say, you know you're going to be gone. I sure do. If I didn't know it, I'd get ready to know it. I'd get on my face and stay there until I knew it. But I know it already because he's been so real to me. Really, he's been so real. Now, the very atmosphere will be so empty. The very atmosphere will be so empty. Now, right now, as wicked as the world is, there is a sense of God everywhere. There's a sense of God. I'm telling you, I can walk out there and see the sunshine. I can get on my back porch where my garden is growing. I've got a back porch, a garden on my patio. And oh, I had tomatoes yesterday. Tomato sandwich for lunch yesterday. Tomato with my egg this morning. Fresh tomato. Woo! I'm telling you, that day will be gone, friend. Everything that relates to God will be gone. The very atmosphere will be so empty of peace, of God's sense of well-being, of just the sense of being blessed. It will be so gone until the human spirit will feel the contrast. Anybody with any degree of reverence toward God, a reverence toward the Bible, will suddenly feel the contrast that fills the air. When wickedness is just like a blanket, the sense of God has disappeared, and yet in your bosom you know that God is real. It'll drive you to prayer, friend. It'll drive you to repentance. It'll drive you to seek the face of God. And finally, the multitude of the wicked will descend into a dark chasm of blindness. You will see people who are so blind to spiritual things. You will see people who are so vile. They'll come after you to destroy you. They won't treat you any way decent. They'll attack you with a venom. Have you noticed what's happening in America in the last few months during the reign of this new president? Have you noticed the darkness? Have you been listening to the Democrats when they have meetings now? They're saying the F word and the S word and every right in front of the multitudes, right on television, holding up the head of the president as though it's been severed and covered with blood. I mean, that was so vile and America so repulsed it until CNN had to fire that woman, had to get her off their screen because the whole nation. Even the liberals were repulsed by that. Well, this day's coming, friend. When the devil is turned loose on this earth, when darkness comes like a storm, it will be so repulsive to anybody with one ounce of decency, that they'll fall on their face and try to get right with God. And those 7 points are some powerful things that the Holy Ghost poured into me this morning. And I'm trying to tell you, friend, that day's coming. That darkness is coming. That darkness is coming. Now, I've shown you in these two scriptures, Revelation 6:9, Revelation 7:9. You can go read them. I want you to. I'm ready for questions now. I want to give you the numbers again. I want to get you on the air, and I want to do my best to have a bunch of questions, and I want us to talk together for this whole audience, okay? Everybody in Facebook and internet and radio, I want to hear from you. I want you to grab a phone and call. I want questions like I've never had, and so we can understand what it's going to be like when there is a revival after the rapture. When people begin to get saved by the multiplied millions. A number so vast that the writer of the Bible could not number them. A multitude, thousands and thousands of thousands, the Bible said. So you're talking about something that's going to be overwhelming. You say, oh, that's going to be, no, it ain't going to be great. It's going to be great for those getting right with God because they're saving their soul from hell. But what is going to happen to them is going to be so vile until you just don't want to think about being there. You just don't want to think about being there. Now call quickly and we'll take the numbers down. Don't want to hinder your viewing of this program. Okay, 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now I want to hear from you. I'm sitting here waiting to hear from you to answer your question. I'll do my best. I want you to shake in your boots if you're not ready for the rapture. If you don't know beyond shadows, beyond any shadow, if you haven't cleaned up your life, if you got sin in there, and you're still indulging in cigarette smoking and drinking and beer guzzling and joke telling and all the junk and the filth that fills our world, if you're part of any bit of it, you better know there won't be one sin that goes up in that rapture. You've either been cleansed and purified of your sins, or you're not going. You're not going. And if the Holy Spirit, see, you aren't resurrected by your power. Now, I'm getting a little bit on my sermon tomorrow. You won't be resurrected by power in you of your own capacity. It will be the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. See, we're going to be lifted out of here by the work of the Holy Spirit. By the work of the Holy Spirit. You better know that the Holy Ghost is burning in your soul. That he is stirring you right now. And that there's an excitement in you. Grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884. 704 is the local number. 704-391-0588. Now, this is no game we're playing. I'm not here today for my health. I'm not here to share something with you because I think I'm smarter than anybody else. I know I'm not an overly smart man. I'm just utterly dependent on this Bible. I believe this book. I believe what this book says. And I'm telling you, the rapture is imminent. It is imminent. I'm looking for Jesus to come at any moment. I get on your phones. I want the best questions you can come up with. And I want us to try our best to stir that multitude out there until there is a movement of God. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Pastor, I really don't have anything but a compliment to you, sir. I just wanted to tell you, it's just a pleasure to hear you over the air. There should be more
Well, you are bouncing around your voice so bad, I don't know why, but say all of that again because I want to try to respond to it.
I said, just bless you over the air, preaching the true word. There should be more men.
I think you're telling me I'm preaching the true word.
Absolutely. There should be more people like you preaching the true word. Blessed to hear you over here.
Wouldn't it be great if the preachers all over America would start preaching this old-fashioned stuff? I mean, it really is breathtaking.
Absolutely. I want to make a point. I want to meet you one day. I want to see you all the time. I try to kiss you, but I know you're going. Are you on any other time? Saturday at 1 o'clock?
Every Saturday at 1 o'clock, Eastern Standard Time. Every Saturday. If you can't get me on the radio, go to the internet. I'm on internet. If you can't get me on internet, go to Facebook. We own two ways all over the world, and three ways all over Charlotte and down east from the station WSTS, other stations at other places. We are trying our best to win lost people to Christ.
Absolutely. You are a blessing. You are a blessing.
Thank you, sir. I give God the glory. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Now call us quickly. We want as many on the air today as possible. Don't fool around. Ask questions. And if you're not ready, I would love to have somebody saved right here on the radio. I'll pray with you. I'll pray with anybody out there. We'll see people saved. I mean, you're not on fire for God. You can get on fire before this radio program is over. Get on your knees and cry out to God. The hour is at hand. If this is not the hour of the Lord's coming, there's no way for the Bible to ever tell us at any time, any more clearly, that we are there. We are there. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Now go ahead and call. I don't know what's happening in my office in there. I'm going to give you, everybody that calls, will get this article that I'm preaching from. I'm teaching from. Those seven things are not here yet, but my secretary will put them in there Monday. They'll be on internet as of Monday. The article as it is now will be on today. But with these seven things the Holy Spirit gave me, they'll be on Monday in the article. So you can get it off of the internet. You can order it right now by calling the ladies right here in the office, 704 391-0588. Then you can give them your name and address, and then you can ask me a question. They'll put you on hold and tell me, and I'll put you on the air, and we'll talk about it. Because we are there, friend. We are there. Now, the lines are open. Don't you fool around. Grab your phone. I want to hear from you. You are important to me, and I want you on the air. I want every question that you can ask me. I will love it. I will love it. Because we're here to be a blessing. I mean, I have no other interest except to be a blessing. I want to help you learn the ways of the Lord. I want to help you get ready. Hey, if you're not ready, if there's any doubt that you're ready, I wouldn't go to bed tonight. In fact, I wouldn't finish the day. I wouldn't watch the sunset until I got me a place to pray and stayed there until the Holy Spirit gave me perfect assurance that I was ready to go. Till the Holy Spirit comes over you, He'll be like a blanket. He'll cover you. He'll bless you. He'll strengthen you. Now call and get this. The lines are standing. The ladies are standing by. The lines are open. We're here to bless you. We're here to bless you. And we will do our level best to be a blessing. So call quickly. Get a copy of that article. I send these articles all over the world. I'm here to tell you. People are being blessed by them. Got I believe it was on Facebook yesterday, a message from South Africa. How much our programs and all is blessing this person. They're saving everything. We're hearing from people in many parts of the world. And we're thrilled. We really are. I looked the other day in one about a two-week period. We'd had 30-some people in Russia. In Russia, that had tuned in to our program and tuned in to something on our internet. We don't always know what it is. We just know when they've been there because our system keeps a record of every country, everybody. And we're here to bless. We're really here to help you. And we hear from people. If you're from another country, send your name and country right now on Facebook, okay? If you're listening by Facebook and you're in another country, send your name and your country. And just say, I'm from so-and-so. I love it when we get a message from some part of Africa, some part of Russia, some part of Europe, some part of South America, Canada. It doesn't matter where. Everywhere, everybody. We're concerned. We're interested in your spiritual well-being. Now, the lines are open. I'm going to take you while you're calling. I'm amazed. Anybody out there that just utterly disagrees with me, would you call and let's talk about it? I want you to do that. I'll be very kind to you. I'll respect you with the highest. You have a right to disagree with me if you've never heard any of this. If none of this is fresh to your mind, if you've never studied the book of Revelation, you probably can't really agree with everything I'm saying. It's just that simple. Because most people aren't in this book of Revelation. They aren't into this Bible and getting all this great truth of the scripture in their heart and their mind. And I'm very burdened about that. I wish I could get every preacher preaching these kind of truths and giving people what's happening. You say, my people will quit coming to church. They would. Well, that's another reason you ought to be preaching it. The reason they'd quit coming is because they've not heard it before. Somebody hasn't done their job. Somebody hasn't bit the bullet and just said what needs to be said. You can preach this. Teach it on Wednesday night. Call and get some of our tapes and play them on Wednesday night. Let me take the heat for you. I don't mind. I'll take the heat for you. If we can get the message to people, I don't mind at all. We're just that concerned and that devoted. Now, I'm going to run to internet. I mean, to you. My email right quickly. I'll be right back. Well, I'm not going nowhere. You don't even know I'm moving over there. But I want to go to email and see if I have any questions. Okay? Let me see here. No questions. I was praying that you would call or send questions. The email is open, and I would presume if anybody sends anything, I'm going to get it. If I don't get it now, I will hear it come up in a minute, okay? I want to hear from you. I really do want to hear from you. Now, you are important. Grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. You know, I'm amazed when I do these tough programs like this, and I really get down to where the rubber meets the road and deals with things like I'm dealing with today. A lot of people don't know what to ask. and they don't want to sound ignorant in asking something that may seem so simple, because really all of this is very simple. But I want to show you that during this period of this great revival, where tens of thousands, millions are being converted, falling on their knees and repenting, I'm telling you that there will be many places where the ground will be covered with people on their faces repenting, asking God. Can you imagine when that trumpet sounds? Maybe half of the world's going to be in the middle of the night. Well, different parts of the world, at different parts of the 24-hour cycle. And there are going to be many people in their bed. And it's going to wake them up. It's going to rattle their house when that trumpet sounds. And they're going to bounce out their door. Can you imagine the people that will come running? I mean, they'll come running out of their house when they hear that trumpet. They'll come dashing out of their bed in their night clothes, running outside. What in the world is happening? I'm going to tell you, there'll be windshields in automobiles that will be cracked by the sound of that trumpet. There will be beer glasses sitting in front of some alcoholic in some beer parlor somewhere. And they will crack by the sound of that trumpet. Those half-drunk people, maybe full-drunk people, will be sober in a moment. I'm telling you, the fear of God's judgment will make the drunk sober. It'll make the wicked conscious of their sins. It'll shake some people to their foundation. I'm here to tell you, that's how exciting. I shouldn't say bad. It's going to be wonderful. I mean, people, at that sound of trumpet, millions are going to leave this earth in a flash. I was dreaming, sitting in my chair one day this week, and I'd gone to sleep, and I presume I was dreaming, and the rapture took place. The rapture took place, and I'm dreaming. And suddenly, I'm at one of my children's house. I'm raptured. I got my glorified body. I felt me change. I felt me put on that new Shekinah glory, that new glorified body. The Bible said just like the Lord's glorified body. And I felt it happen. And then I thought about my child, one of my children, and I was immediately at their house. The speed of thought had put me in their house, right in front of them. And I said, hey, children, listen to Papa, listen to Daddy. I've just been glorified. Mama has just been glorified, and we're leaving here. Don't take that mark. Don't you take that mark. You've missed the rapture, or you'd already be going with me, and you're not ready. You don't have your glorified body, so you missed it. You missed it. You say, that's never happened. Then you better go to the book of Matthew. Don't tell me it's never happened. I think I'll go read that. The book of Matthew. Let me read it to you. You talk about something exciting. Hey, you say, I don't believe that. Well, I don't know this is going to happen either. I just can't. You know, it's a precedence. It happened in the time of the first fruits when Jesus was glorified. So let's just consider the possibility. Here we are. I think we're there. This is the book of Matthew 27, verse 50. You want to read it with me? Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of his temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. The graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves and after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So when Jesus was resurrected, there were these people in Jerusalem, and that's right there in the Bible. Go to Matthew 27, verses 50, 51, 52, and 53, and read it for yourself. And these people came out of their grave. The graves were opened, and the Bible makes it plain that they were seen in Jerusalem and appeared to many. So if I appear to my son or my daughters, it won't be something bad. It happened in the Bible. I mean, it won't be but a quick moment or two, maybe 5 minutes, and I would have visited every home and every grandchild, and then Mom and I will be gone. We're leaving here. Hey, friend, we're leaving here. That rapture is any moment. Can you imagine? Suddenly, this body begins to transform. The clothes are left laying in a pile. the shoes, the socks, the necktie, the shirt, the dress, the skirt, the blouse, whatever we're wearing. And we'll have glorified bodies, clothed in white raiments, which are the righteousness of the saints. And we'll be out of here and gone in a flash. Now, I'm telling you, when that happens, our world is going to be in consternation. There will be squalling like you've never heard in all your life. It'll be evident in every community. Wherever there are conscious people that have some degree of understanding of right and wrong, there'll be some kind of squalling going on. And you can be gone when that happens. Or you can mess around and be careless and be lazy. The Bible makes it plain he's coming for a people who are ready to go. He's coming for a people who are ready to go. Now, the lines are open. I want to send you this article. The least you can do is read this article and check every scripture. You check me out. You look at me with a fine-tooth comb. You check me to the nth of your capacity. It don't bother me at all to be questioned. If I make a mistake of spelling on Facebook, somebody will call me or text me and tell me right in front of everybody, don't bother me. I just go fix it. Thank them. Man, I'm not perfect. I'm just like you. I don't even spell good. My wife is my speller, and I do too many texts when my wife's not around to help me spell. And in those cases, you can believe I can make mistakes. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Richard, I don't have a question, but I have a testimony. I just want to tell you, I was saved early in the Nesting Church, and so when those old-timers preached this, I thought, how in the world that ever happened? And I know, I believe like you, we're right there, aren't we?
What, did you say you were Nazarene?
I used to be. I was saved in a Nazarene church years ago.
Well, did they preach the same thing I'm preaching?
Old-time preaching.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? I was saved in the Church of God in 1952. And our pastors would have a prophecy conference every year. And someone would come in who was a student, had studied the book of Revelation and the great prophecies of the Bible. And I learned all of what I preach, mostly. Now, there's some things that God's revealed to me. And I've grown and I've found some other sources around the world, like Joseph Seiss, who happened to have been a Lutheran. But he died in the turn of the 20th century, 1910, something like that. He died, went to heaven, and he was a great preacher of Revelation. And his book is the greatest book out there. It's called The Apocalypse. The Apocalypse. If we have it in our bookstore. You need to get Joseph Seiss, S-E-I-S-S. Joseph Seiss's book on Revelation. And you ought to get my book, of course. I'm talking not to you, but others. Because I preach what he preached. The Bible is real, and Jesus is coming.
But you know how old I am?
How old?
87.
You 87?
87. And I'm going to a Baptist church in Denver, North Carolina now. And the preacher is preaching on prophecy right down the middle like you have.
Well, that's wonderful. That's unusual, but that's wonderful. Thank you. You walk with God, my sister.
I will. Thank you.
God bless your heart. Now, these calls are wonderful, and I want a lot more. I've got 20 minutes, 19 minutes, and I would love to answer any question. That lady is proof to you that what I'm preaching is not strange. No, it is not strange. Only to this present world that's not heard it. They just don't hear it. They just don't hear it. And I'm telling you, we're right on the verge of the King coming and all of his glory and majesty. And you don't want to be left. I'm telling you, it will be one sick world when the saints of God are gone. It will be a mess. And I'm telling you, those things I read to you, they're real to me. But I want to take you to the book of 2 Thessalonians, because there's going to be a crowd in this group. A crowd among the world, a population that cannot get right with God. That cannot get right with God. Now, I want to make sure you understand this. Please listen to me carefully. Let me take you to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Let me take you to verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie and be damned. Now, I'm talking about the multitude that's going to repent after the rapture. But there's another multitude that cannot repent after the rapture. If you've rejected God over and over, you turn from the way. Maybe you were called to preach and now you're just serving the devil and you're not preaching. Maybe you were a member of a good solid church and now you don't even go to church. You're just out there in beard parlors and anywhere you can go to have another little sinful thrill. Friend, you very likely can't get saved because you've sinned against grace. You've sinned against your calling. You've sinned against everything you knew. You've turned on your heels. The Bible says, any man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a dark day. It's going to be incredible. I wish someone would ask the question, how does a person know if they're one of those who cannot repent? Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're one of those who cannot repent, you probably cannot agree with nothing I said because you're in a dark chasm. You've been turned over to a reprobate mind. You've got a brain so congealed with darkness until you don't hear the wonderful truth of God. If you're listening to me and shaking, it's a good sign you can get saved. If you're listening to me and trembling, if you're listening to me and trying your best to turn it off and your fingers won't let you, and when you turn it off, you get the shaking and you turn it back on. There's some of you out there. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. There's a lot of people out there that know what I'm saying. And you feel what I'm saying. I guarantee you, there's some Church of God preachers that know me. And you know what Brother Chambers represents. And you become real, compromised. And you don't preach old time holiness anymore. And you're trying your best to say that I'm too hard and the old way was too strict. You know better. You know better. And way down inside, your heart's trembling. And I'm here to tell you, go back to the old way. I would nothing thrill me more than have some preachers calling me and saying, today I turn back to the old way. Today I turn back to holiness. Today I'm going to get back ready for the rapture because worldliness is not going in that rapture. Ungodly living is not going in that rapture. Careless conduct is not going in that rapture. You've compromised the word of God. You're not ready to go. The Bible said you're neither hot nor cold. I will spew you out of my mouth. God said that. I didn't. God said it. He will spew you out of his mouth. He said, if you've left your first love, repent and do your first works, or else I will remove your candlestick out of your place. Now, God will give you space to repent, but that space is not but so long. And if you don't pay no attention, and you don't turn around and come back to the right way, you're going to be in trouble. And I'm praying for you. Man, am I praying for you. Who do I feel what I'm saying today? The Holy Ghost is moving on people out there. The Holy Ghost is shaking somebody out there. I promise you, he is. And I know there's a multitude of people realizing, hey, it's getting later than I even imagined. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, things are so, we got a new president and he's for the right things. And that means it's going to get better. No, it don't mean it's going to get better. Not in the spiritual realm. I thank God for him. I'm willing to fight for America with President Trump with all I've got. I'm grateful for him. He's standing up to the powers of hell and taking a lot of heat. But by the grace of God, I want to keep America strong until that rapture takes place. We're the only beacon on the earth. Did you know that? Israel and America is the only two biblical beacons on this earth. There's not another country that's a beacon. Look at Europe. Look at England. Look at all those countries over in Europe. Look at the countries of the Middle East. Look at the Asian countries. Look at the direction all the countries of the world are going. Canada, for instance. My friend, it's a hellish time. It really is. Nearly 200 nations have signed the Paris Peace Accord, a peace accord. They're off in a crazy world. Like this earth is coming apart. It's only coming apart because of sin. You know, I really understand those people who are involved in trying to save the earth because they don't know God. They're atheists and ungodly people. They rejected the Bible. They rejected the truth of the scripture. They rejected the path of Christ. They rejected the coming judgment, the book of Revelation. And so they don't know. They're just trying to save something that they see coming apart. Well, I'm trying to get ready to leave something that's coming apart. And that's what I want to get you to do. Get ready to leave. Get ready to go. Hey, let me read a little more of this. The lines are open. I'm ready for your call. I got plenty to say. Believe me, I'm dealing with a world that's in a mess. I'm sitting here pouring out my soul because I love you. I care about every man and woman out there. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't care what language you speak. You're welcome to this church. Love will meet you at the door. And I'm preaching tomorrow how you can know that you know that you know that you're ready to go. Is that good enough? Know that you know that you know that you're ready to go. Know that you know that you know that you're ready to go. Anybody out there would like to know that? If you don't know that, I'm here to tell you, you better learn. If there's even a little queasy feeling, if there's a little doubtful feeling, if there's a little carelessness in your framework, in your mindset, if you've been made comfortable with your sins, if you made comfortable with your lack of spirituality, if you haven't been on your knees and prayed till God's Holy Spirit came down in weeks on top of weeks and maybe months, you're not ready. The Bible makes that plain. The moving of the Holy Ghost in you is what is going to have you ready for Jesus to come and get you. Now, I've got about 12 minutes, and I want calls. I really do. And nothing helps a program when I can end it by answering your question. So grab your phone or give me your testimony. Let me hear from you. Let me hear from you. You're important to us. You're important to us. I got to send you this book. Everybody out there, you got to get a copy of this. You really have. You got to get it and read it. You say, Brother Chambers, if I read that, I'll be trembling all over. Well, the reason you're trembling is because you're not ready to go. The only reason these things scare you is because you're not ready. The only reason these things scare you is because you're not living like you ought to be living. You say, but I'm an old-fashioned Christian, but they scare me to death. No, something's wrong. Something's wrong. When you know you're ready, these things will not scare you. If there's any proof you're not ready, it's that these things disturb your peace of mind. If there's any proof you're not ready, it's because they frighten you. If there's any proof that something's wrong, it's because you're not comfortable when a preacher preaches this kind of thing to you. If your pastor would preach this in your church tomorrow, how many people would not come back the next service? I mean, that's the kind of world we're living in. People don't want to hear this. Oh, but he preaches all these good things. I mean, these sweet things. Well, your problem is not what he preaches. It's what he don't preach. That's the problem, okay? Hey, let me read on. And for this cause, God shall send them. Somebody says God don't send people strong delusions. Well, they better read the Bible. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Are you aware of that? Now, my friend, I'm telling you, we are so near that last hour. It is so close at hand. Remember what Jesus said in John 14:1? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That where I am, there ye may be also. John 14:1-3. Now, friend, those kind of scriptures are enough to shatter you, to send you to somewhere to pray, to get a hold of God, to get a hold of Christ, to get your life in a place where you are happy in the Lord. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, at the last trump. Oh, that trump's going to be something else. I get so excited when I think about that old trumpet sounding. It thrills my little heart to think about hearing that the middle of the night, the middle of the day. I'm in the pulpit. I'm in my car. I'm here in the office. I'm at home with mother. It don't matter. I'm excited about the trumpet sounding and leaving here and going to be with the Lord. Are you excited? Let me have a couple of testimonies right quick of somebody that's ready to go. Would you? Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. Grab your phone now, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884, and then 704-391-0588. I'm trying to move over so you can see it better. Hey, grab your phone, jrc@paulcreek.org. I'm going to run back there a minute. Hey, friend, I want to tell you something. It is later than you think. We are at the verge of his coming. All right. No no emails today. That's okay. I get amazed. It's all overwhelming, my friend, where we are, where we are living today. It's overwhelming. Jesus is coming. I mean, any minute now and we'll be gone. Any minute now and we'll be gone. I can hardly wait. I really can. I can hardly wait. I was reading there. Let me read back. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised. Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Can you imagine? Now let's talk a minute about just being ready for that rapture. Being ready for that rapture. The grand thought of being ready for that rapture. There is nothing as exciting. I've been a Christian 65 years. My wife and I just celebrated 62 years of marriage this past Monday. I mean, we've had a happy life. We have enjoyed serving God. We are faithful to the things of this Bible. We're faithful to our family, to our church. We're faithful. We love it. We're faithful to one another. I have a wife and she has a husband that's never touched another man or another woman. We have been pure all of our life, living pure for one another. And it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. If you're not living that way, I was at a place this week and they said to me, "How old are you?" And I said, 80, nearly 82. Oh, they said, "You're not no 82. I said, "Well, I am." "How in the world did you live this long and look so healthy?" I said, "You live right. You don't drink and you don't cuss and you don't swear. You don't take drugs and you don't drink liquor. You don't smoke cigarettes. You don't fornicate and commit adultery. You got to live clean if you're going to live a life that's long and a life of wonderful." Now, please keep calling. You've got to get this booklet. Please, the ladies are standing by. You've got to get that booklet. I mean, you've got to get it. Please call immediately. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Dr. Chambers.
Yes.
You wrote down today. Praise God. You did a good job.
Well, thank you, sir, so much. You have a question?
Well, no, not really. I just want to tell you what a blessing you were today. Of course, I'll send you a little check for it and keep the good work up. I was safe when I was a young age, and I believe, you know, the most important thing a person can know is safe where you're going. Read your Bible daily, pray.
Thank you for your testimony, friend. And I love you. How long have you been saved?
Thank you so much.
Say that again.
Thank you.
Well, that is wonderful. I love you. I love you much, my friend, and God bless your heart. Now, somebody else call. Let me hear from you. You are important. This program is for you. It is to get you ready, get you excited, to get you so thrilled about the coming of the Lord until nothing else matters. Now, I'm preaching in the morning on how you can know that you know you're ready to go. How you can know that you know that you're ready to go. If you don't know it, I want to help you know it. If there's even a doubt, if you are just confused about it, if you've been told we all sin every day, so don't worry about your sins. Yeah, I'm here to tell you, somebody's lied to you. We don't sin every day unless we're sinners. We belong to Christ. We're not supposed to sin every day. If you do, it means you haven't been saved. You haven't been saved if you sin every day. The Bible said very clearly that we will be dead to sin. Read the book of Romans 5 and 6 and read 1 John. All these books of the Bible, they'll tell you plainly that a godly life is absolutely your responsibility if you want to go with Jesus. He's coming at you. A church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. Now, I want every one of you to have this booklet. And you have to call the ladies. Well, stay here as long as the phone rings. And they'll get them to you. If you're on Facebook, you call. Send this to everybody you know on Facebook. It'll be right up. It'll be archived in a few minutes. And you can send it by Facebook all over the world, one after the other. It ought to be shared 100 times. I've got 4,000 and something friends. If you do not share what I preach like this, then you shouldn't even be my friend. Come on, help me get this message out. It's a dark hour. And we must get out the message. And we must get people ready. We must get people ready. God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother Chambers. I just want to let you know a little testimony there. My mother buried her yesterday. She was 92 years old.
That was your mother?
That was my mother.
Oh, boy. 92 years old, buried yesterday, and she was a saint of God?
Yes, she was. She had 5 children. She never had to leave to see them and die. And she's a good, thankful woman, and she directed us to the Lord, all the soldiers to love one another and get along. And she, I talked with the problem at times, and she always seemed to have an answer, and if she didn't,
well, I'm proud and I rejoice with you. The mother will get to come. If Jesus comes while you're still living and you're ready to go, she'll raise before you get up. The Bible says the dead in Christ was raised first.
Right, and we prayed for her. God answered our prayer. We prayed for her. She had a massive stroke, and we had a chance to say her goodbyes for about a week, and the doctor said, you know, it's just a matter of time. And we prayed, my sister and I prayed that my mom would go real easy, and she went just as easy as I had no suffering, just really, really easy.
That is wonderful. Thank you for calling, my brother. I love you in the Lord, okay? I love you in the Lord. Hey, friend, I want to tell you, it's a joy to have friends all over this world who know this good message of the gospel, who know the wonderful things of God. And I love it. I love being a blessing. I love helping people. And we're hearing from people, I mean, many places in the world. I don't know how far our programs go. Oh, I know how far they go, but I don't know how many people listening. I just know that it's a joy, and I want to help you make sure you're ready to go. Now, I want you to share this with everybody you can. I want you to get on your knees and pray for a Holy Ghost awakening before the rapture. I would love to see a great revival before the rapture. I've almost given up hope. The world is going so deep into hellish living and so far from God. I'm of the opinion now that almost everybody who gets saved from now on is going to be after the rapture. I mean, I'm just of that opinion because there's such a darkness. There's such a hellishness. Preachers are preaching such a helpless sermons. I am amazed. And so much of the church world is into all kinds of crazy music. They into everything but really walking close to God. And I am amazed at it. I really am. And I'm saying, my friends, in the name of Jesus, nothing of that counts except living for God. Live right, live clean, live holy. The coming of the Lord is at the door. I'm telling you, the coming of the Lord is at the door. And I want you to be ready. I really do want you to be ready. I want you to get ready to go. Because he's ready to come. I'm telling you, we are at the door. Now, I got to go. I'm preaching in the morning on how you can know that you're ready. How you can know that you're ready. I promise you, it's going to be an anointed, heavenly, wonderful sermon. I'm going to give my best before God, and he's got to do the rest. I'm depending utterly on the Holy Spirit. The music in our place is so overwhelming. Our associate minister, in training, he'll be preaching tomorrow night, Joseph Gans, a good preacher, good preacher. We got camp meeting begins in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from Monday, the great camp meeting at Charlotte. Oh, I'm telling you, there's no greater camp meeting than we have right here. And you don't want to miss it. 2 weeks from tomorrow, from Monday. I'm sorry, 2 weeks from Monday. 2 weeks from Monday. If you need a flyer, just call. We'll send you one. I love you. Jesus is coming. He's at the door. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to go. I want you to go. He's coming. I said he's coming.
The will to succeed. I'm asking for you to take hold of me. I'll just keep holding your hand till I make it. There's no need to think that I could even last or take it. But I will trust in you, dear Lord. That's where I'll stay. I'll keep holding your hand all the way. Mm-hmm.
last 1 minute if you're not hearing it. So, Lord, please take me through. I need what it takes. My life is at stake. Keep holding.